attitude in service. Give reasons for your answer. As you know, such an attitude is that of a hireling. He has forgotten that the ministry of a pastor is that of the work of Christ. It's spiritual. And the moment he has this attitude where he will pick and choose what portion of God's word to preach and teach, you know he is not someone that you could trust. The Bible did tell us by the testimony and example of the Apostle Paul that his conscience was clear because he preached to the church in Ephesus the whole counsel of God. We must preach whatever the Bible tells us to preach. We do not add, we do not subtract. The definition of a faithful prophet was what God did in the life of young Samuel. In his days as a young boy, he stayed with his adopted father, as it were, the high priest called Eli, a terrible pastor, a terrible father. And so God gave him a dream at night to tell him that Eli was a terrible, terrible high priest and father, and God will punish him severely and he will die. Next morning, Eli asked this little boy, "What did God say to you?" Now, as a little boy, the Bible did say that he was fearful because it was not good news. It was basically a rebuke from God to Eli. But he was a little boy. He was the adopted son because of his mother, Hannah, who promised that if you give me a son, I will dedicate him and return him as a Nazarite to serve you for the rest of his life. And the moment she weaned him, she went to the tabernacle and handed her beloved son, Samuel, to Eli to look after, to train. And here was the message. The Bible said that young Samuel spoke every whit of what God said to him, to Eli. And from that point onwards, the next couple of verses, the Bible said that characterized the rest of Samuel's ministry as a prophet to the day he died. He never added, he never subtracted. He knew he was standing on holy ground every time he opened his mouth. And since it is God's word, and wherever God sent me, to whomever God wants me to speak to, I will say exactly what God's word says. No addition, no subtraction. That must be every believer's attitude in service. Whatever the word of God say, you say. Doesn't matter who's in front of the congregation. You just preach it, the word of God. To maintain this attitude and understanding, stand before the congregation and understand that everyone who comes to church, there are only two types of people. Sinners saved by grace, children of God, and sinners in need of grace. Whoever comes in, whether they are president, prime minister, CEO, the moment they set foot in the church before God, they are just sinners saved by grace or in need of grace. No difference. And when you minister God's word, you are speaking what? The oracles of God. And therefore, they need to be saved if they are sinners in need of grace. And for you to give them special carnal treatment because of their position in the eyes of man, prime minister and so on, you are actually doing them a big disfavor and definitely an insult to God, and it will hurt your ministry and God's name that you are supposed to bear in holiness, godliness and righteousness according to scripture. So this pastor is a hireling. Number two, would you like such a pastor as described in question one above to care for your soul? I hope your answer would be no. You do not want such a hireling to care for your soul. He's going to hurt it. He's going to ruin it. He's going to look at you. Oh, this is the son and daughter of a very rich man. Since I need my rice bowl, and since he's pretty rich, I assume that he would be one of those who are good in giving tithe. And if I were to hurt his son or his daughter in any way, they might leave the church. And therefore, I better keep my mouth shut, even if I see wrongdoing in his son or his daughter. You want that kind of pastor? dangerous and deadly in the ministry. In the next election, this pastor was elected back into office. Now, these are not theoretical. These are not scenarios that I dream of. You know, this actually happened inside a BP church, just to clarify matters, not an ecumenical church. What do you think of the spiritual condition of the congregation? They are goats. For this pastor to openly tell you that I'm not going to preach to you the whole counsel of God, all those Bible passages that are going to warn you and hurt you and admonish you and rebuke you, I'm not going to preach. You know how many percentage of the Bible is of that nature? Admonishment and rebuke? 90% or more. And so what is he going to preach? The 10% or less? How are you going to know God? How are you going to be saved? How does the gospel begin? That you are a sinner, you die in your sin, you end up in hell. That's negative, isn't it? He's not going to say that. So what is he going to say? Well, you believe in Christ, you go to heaven. Everybody will believe in Christ. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Is that the gospel according to scripture? No. That's a half-baked gospel that will not save. They want to go to heaven for the wrong reason. But just to go to heaven, who doesn't want to believe in Christ and go to heaven without confession of sin? Would you remain in such a church? I hope not. You can rest assured your children taught under that kind of environment will not be given the gospel according to scripture. Session members dare not speak up, number three, at session meetings because they fear being publicly rebuked and losing face. But they murmur and complain about the many decisions made after the meeting. How would you describe such attitudes among the leaders of the church? You elect deacons and elders to look after your spiritual well-being. That means whenever there is a session meeting where they deliberate and discuss all the ministries in the church to make sure that they are biblically sound, that any one of you attend, young or old, it should be biblically managed. It should be looked after according to Holy Scriptures. Good, correct, right men and women should be in committees to prayerfully plan for all the spiritual programs and to make sure that the right speakers are speaking in all these programs. That's what they're supposed to do. But if they are fearful of man and they know that this decision is not right, but because they are fearful of man, because this man is very fearsome and then he may shut you down. You speak up, you disagree with him, he humiliates you. And because you are fearful of man, you keep your mouth shut. And since you keep quiet, decision was made, silence means consent. And therefore, after the decision has been made, the meeting is all over, decisions are all done, you murmur, complain among yourselves. Why don't you speak up before the decision is made? What's the point of murmuring and say, that's a wrong decision, that should not happen? Why did you not speak up? So, how can a person protect and take care of your spiritual well-being when they are more fearful of men? What kind of men? The people inside the church, and if they are fearful of people inside the church, you think they're going to have the courage to face the people outside the church where these people are agents of the God of this world? They wear the uniform of the army of the devil. And if they are fearful of their own people, fearful of what? Losing face? They're thinking of their own face. They're thinking, maybe if I speak up, I'll get scolded. Not that they will. But in their mind, if I speak up, this person looks so fierce, so angry, I better don't speak up. It's all based upon situational ethics. You do not make decisions based upon situations that you imagine may or may not happen. You make decisions based upon right and wrong. You are elected as a deacon, as an elder, who knows enough of scripture, and when a suggestion or a proposal is made and you know it is not right, it is not according to scripture, it is not the best, it's your duty and responsibility to speak up and give your reasons why you have a better suggestion. It's what you're supposed to do. And even if once in a while you get shut down, so be it. So be it. That's what you're supposed to be, supposed to do, speak up. And the people are not perfect. And sometimes you may be the one that people are afraid of. Also, they are not speak up. Just speak. Just open your mouth and do your duty. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You are there to protect the spiritual well-being and to make sure that the direction of the church is heading in the biblical direction. And the moment you know something is not, speak up. And if it is not, and you let it go through, and then everyone realized that it was a big boo-boo, and then they later on found out, you know it was wrong, why didn't you speak up? If you had spoken up, we would not have gone through with the decision, then the church would not be in this state. Again, isn't it? Speak up. Don't murmur and complain after the fact. Would you want them to be your leaders? I hope not too. Unless they overcome their man-pleasing mentality and man-pleasing attitude, where their main goal is to save face. You cannot serve the Lord saving face. Your duty is to save the image of Christ that you protect with all your life. Your face should not matter. You have died to Christ, right? Crucified with Christ. Your name should be forgotten. Now, the only name you should promote and protect is the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that is the only name on earth that can deliver a sinner out of hell, not your name. So what's the point of them thinking so nicely of you? Wow, elder so-and-so, so good. Reverend so-and-so, so good. What for? Right? Christ, yes, they can go to heaven because of Christ. They can't go to heaven and get out of hell because of you. You're here to promote Christ, not yourself. And therefore, by speaking up, you get humiliated, it's okay. This is all part and parcel of God's way of teaching you. Teaching us what? That Christ must increase, I must decrease. Isn't that the correct principle which John the Baptist adopted, which we all must also adopt? Christ must increase, we must decrease. That means don't protect your face. Your name is not important. Christ's name, you protect with every ounce of strength and energy and resources that you have. Finally, are you afraid to speak up for Christ? That's personal. It's up to you. Okay? We all need to speak up for Christ and trust in the Lord. In the workplace, speak up for Christ. But, yeah, there will be but. I'm not going to tell you because the Lord knows that there will be times when He will protect you. There'll be times when He will allow you to experience a little bit of adversities, a little bit of persecution, verbal most of the time, to see how you will grow and how you will learn, right? Patience can only be tested and stretched in the midst of adversities, difficulties, right? That's the only way to learn patience. And if that is what God sees you need, and so He will allow someone in the company to shout at you, to humble you, to humiliate you, swallow it. Okay, next time when the same board meeting comes back, they use the name of Christ in vain, the same thing happens, speak up again. They scold you again, okay, accept. Then the third time, do it again. Scold again, so again, it's all right. Once you, the first time is always the hardest, isn't it? After the first time, second time, third time, just let them keep scolding, it's all right. But let them know, I will always speak up. So the moment you humiliate my Savior, I will stand up and I will speak up on His behalf. You want to scold me? Go ahead. But I will still speak up for Christ. I mean, words only, right? They call you a fool, an idiot, and this and that. Okay, I'm a fool. I'm an idiot. All right, I agree. Anything else? You heard the name of Christ? I will speak up. Whatever you do to me, you just do. But I have to defend the name and honor of my Savior. And when you have that, when you share the gospel with a colleague, with a friend, why would the Holy Spirit not take such a courageous, discerning child of God who honors Him? Why would He not honor you and make you a blessing to save this colleague of yours out of hell? Isn't that why you are there? To point them to the Savior. And you think they do not know? You think all those colleagues of yours do not see what you are doing and what your big boss is doing to you and how you react and respond with such humility? They are not blind. They see. They observe. You'll be surprised. You just be yourself as a Christian and you'll be surprised what others are looking. When I started work, during the interview, I make sure that my interviewer, my bosses, my future bosses knew that I was a Christian. And so I started work. They accepted me. And so once a month, they always have this office lunch. And so I was there for the office lunch. No choice. Everybody must go. And so I always give thanks before I eat. So a few months after that, that particular office lunch, I just bowed my head. I was about to give thanks. My big boss told everyone, stop eating. Let Swan Yu pray for all of us before we eat. I got shocked. So I prayed for everybody. Then we ate. Then after that, all right, wait. Swan Yu, do we have to pray before we walk away? No need, no need. Just thank. We don't have to pray again. I didn't know he was watching. All I did was just simply, all of them started eating. I just bowed my head. I just made a silent prayer before I ate. But he was watching. Same thing. When I was in Ujung Pandang doing my work, the governor sent me a Christian card wishing me blessed Christmas. All I did was during lunchtime with all this VIP, the vice chancellor of the university, the governor of Ujung Pandang, the city where I built the university with my boss, they were watching. I just quietly thanked God for the food. And lo and behold, out of the blue, the governor of the city sent me a Christmas card wishing me blessed Christmas. People look, people see. And if people can do that, how much more your living God? You are a priest to the Almighty. Perform your sacred service to the living God correctly. Amen.